All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 tonight. If you find the Gospel of Matthew or Malachi, it's the next book, all right? Chapter 25. I'd like to begin reading in verse 14, and we'll read down to about verse 21, and then I want you to keep your Bible open because I'm going to reference a few more things here, but for the sake of time, I want to begin in verse 14 at the beginning of this parable, and we'll read down to verse 21. All right, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. And to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh." And what's the next word? "Reckoned with them." And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." All right, now the same thing is going to be repeated in verse 22 and 23. Look at verse 23. The guy that was given 2, he went and made 2 other talents. And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." All right, I want to speak to you tonight, primarily from verse 21. And I'm going to entitle the message tonight, "Well Done." Well done. We've all heard this phrase. We have heard it mentioned in messages, and we have heard it used in Sunday school and various other places, I'm sure. So let's look at this parable tonight and see what the Lord was teaching his disciples, and then make some application to help each and every one of us to concentrate and to think about our own faithfulness to do with what the Lord gives us. Be faithful in that and make the Lord a prophet from the way, from what he has blessed us with. All right, let's pray, and then the message entitled "Well Done." Let's pray. Father, thank you now so much for the day. We thank you for the good attendance this morning. And Father, we're thankful that with each passing Sunday, we just seem to pick up a few more. And Father, we thank you for that. And I pray you'll bless our people. And Father, we ask you to help us to tonight to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, I pray that all of us will give heed to this matter of being faithful. I certainly want to hear you say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I definitely want to hear that. So I pray you'll help all of us. I know we all want to hear that. So Father, help us tonight to pay real close attention so that we can be encouraged and challenged in the area of being faithful to you, so that when the time comes, we will definitely hear you say those words to us. Bless us now, Lord. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This parable is referred to as the parable of the talents. And this parable was spoken by the Lord Jesus to his disciples, basically on the mountain that we call Mount Olivet. And of course, that was when the Lord Jesus, the mountain where the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven. And it's the mountain that when you stand on the top of it and then look at the back at the city of Jerusalem, you are able to see the Temple Mount, and you can see the that gold domed mosque that is there, and you realize that what the psalmist said about Jerusalem is so true, in that everything is so compacted together. And so when the Lord spoke to his disciples, have referred to this message that he gave as the Olivet Discourse. In other words, it was spoken on the Mount of Olives to the disciples. And the bulk of what was spoken here, this begins back in chapter 24 and continues through 24 and 25. But the bulk of it was given by the Lord when they were on across the city of Jerusalem and on the Mount of Olives. They came through the Golden Gate, or the Eastern Gate, as it is called, because it was on the east side of the ancient city. And then they crossed the Kidron Valley and then started up to the side of the Mount of Olives. And that is when the Lord gave this parable to his apostles, to his disciples. Now, we call it the parable of the talents. When you and I hear the word talent, we think that it means that an innate ability that someone has been given by the Lord that enables them to sing or to play instruments or something like that. But that's not what is being referred to here. The parable of the talents. A talent is a denomination of money. All right? We have dollars, and we have quarters, and we have nickels, and we have dimes, and we have pennies, and these are the denominations of our money. All right, now over in Israel during Bible times, a talent was a division of money. And so this man, this steward in the parable, was preparing to go on a trip. And so he called some of his men and he gave them money, his money. And he told them that they were, while he is gone, to take the money that he has given them. And with his money, they were to make a prophet for him. And he told them, I'm going to come back one of these days, and when I come back, I'll check on you, and you can give me what you have used my money for, and give me the prophet. Now, I want you to notice here that each of these three men were given different amounts, probably indicating that this steward knew the capabilities of each one, and he knew what they could and what they could and could not do. So one fella was given 5 talents, all right, 5. And another was given 2. And then another was given 1, okay? So they were given different amounts. And we learn that as the Lord Jesus continues to tell the story here, the parable, that while the steward was away, the guy who was given 5 talents put his money to work, and he made 5 more. And then the guy who was given 2 talents, well, he put his to work, and he made 2 more for the steward. So to both of these men, when the steward came home from his trip, he said to both of these guys, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Both of them were told, well done. So the steward knew that those men had done the best that they could do. He knew if he gave this one 5, that he could produce 5 more. And so when he did, well done. He knew this one was only given 2, but he knew that 2 was probably all he could handle. And so when he came back and the man had made 2 more, he said to him the same thing he said to the guy with 5, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, in verse 21, and then again in verse 23, the exact same statement was given to each man. Now, you know, folks, when God in the Bible repeats a statement, that generally indicates importance. So there's a lesson there. There is something to learn. There's going to be something very important in that which is repeated, and the Holy Spirit of God would have us to see it, all right? The Holy Spirit of God would have us to see that and to learn from it and to understand the lesson that he wants to teach. Now, what would you say if you had to get up here and preach tonight? What would you say is the main point of this parable? What would you say the Lord Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand as he told them this parable? Well, I think the main point here is faithfulness. I think it's faithfulness. You see, if the guy that was given 5 is going to make a profit for his steward, then he's got to be faithful to his responsibilities. All right? He's got to be faithful. And same way with the other fella. And both of these are contrasted by the fella who took the 1 and dug a hole in the ground and put it in the ground and covered it over. But then when the steward returned, he ran out, dug it up, and gave it to the steward. Now, the steward didn't have much to say about him, didn't have much good to say about him. And so I think that the main point here is faithfulness. Folks, faithfulness is so very important, especially in our world today. Both of these men were faithful, and the master honored their faithfulness in a wonderful and generous way. He let them come and live where he lived. He gave them a home at his home. That's pretty generous, don't you think? I mean, these guys, they did the right thing, and they were honored for doing the right thing. They were faithful, and they were honored for being faithful. I want to speak to you tonight on this matter of faithfulness. You know, if a Christian lacks faithfulness, somewhere in that Christian there is a lack of character. Amen. There is a lack of character. You know what character is? Character is simply the innate ability to do what's right. It's the ability to do what's right. Dr. Bob Sr., I think it was him, used to say, reputation is what men think of you, but character is what God and your wife know you are. Amen. All right, so I'll be honest with you, folks. I think the Lord wants us faithful to him. If I read my Bible right, I think the Lord wants us to be faithful all the way along. And in order for us to do that, it takes grit, it takes character, it takes backbone, it takes a daily effort to make sure that we are faithful in all things. Now, three things I want you to see here. Number one, I want you to notice in this parable, and especially in verse 21 and 23, I want you to notice that there was a review of faithfulness. When this guy came back, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that this fella, he gave three of them talents, and then he left. And he was gone for an extended period of time. But I want you to notice that when he came home, he reviewed what all three of these guys did with the talents, the money that he gave them. There was a review. They had to stand before the steward, and they had to give account of themselves. The point that we need to see here is that each one of these three were individually reviewed. They were not reviewed together. One, the fellow that hid his talent, he could not just step up side by side with the guy that had five and say, hey, bud, can you slip me one here? You know, you got five more than what you had. Just give me one and I'll have double. You're still going to have more than me. You're still going to be on the top echelon here. Won't you just slide me one of your talents? No, it doesn't work that way. They were all, each and every one, they were reviewed individually. Listen, folks, the Lord blesses each and every one of us with gifts and with opportunities and with responsibilities, and he expects us to take what he gives us and make him a prophet with it. God expects us to be faithful. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 8? And the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Bible says, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. And if you look at it through the eyes of this parable, let me say it this way. When the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, he gave talents to men. He gave us opportunities. He gave us spiritual gifts. He gave us responsibilities. And you mark it down, when the Lord gives us those things, He expects us to be faithful with them. The question is, what kind of gifts did He give? And the answer is, He gave spiritual gifts. All right? Spiritual gifts. He gave me the gift of pastor, teacher, and He expects me to put that gift to work and to make Him a prophet with it. Folks, to be honest with you, knowing this has been my motivation through the years to study and to learn and to prepare and to come in here equipped with something for you that the Lord has shown me during the week, and that has been the factor that has kept me going for 42 years in the Lord's work. I mean, listen, I know I'm not going to live forever. I like to think I am, but I know I'm not. This old broken down body of mine is it's in bad shape. I don't know how else to say it to you. All right. One day my work down here on this earth, it's going to be over. It's going to be done. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to His disciples? He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. Now listen, the night cometh when no man can work. That's a sobering thought, is it not? And you know, I've never really stopped to consider that statement. So let's just consider it for a moment. The night cometh when no man can work. Folks, that's true. I mean, if you'll just stop and think about it, that statement is so true, and there are a multitude of applications that you can make to that statement. Of course, the day is coming when the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth to rapture the church out of here. And by the way, when He does, then the opportunity, our days for work, to honor Him, to work for Him, to make Him a prophet, our days are over. Now, what if the Lord came back tonight? There's some folks that would have a hard time explaining why they didn't make God a prophet. I mean, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you know what that's all about? Review. That's all about each and every one of us being looked at from His eyes to our eyes. And let me tell you something, folks, when those eyes look at you, they pierce right down into your very soul. And He's going to say, I gave you these talents. What'd you do with them? I gave this to you. Why did you dig a hole and stick it in the ground? I gave this to you so you could multiply it and bring honor to me. And folks, listen, we know that that day is coming. I mean, the Bible's very clear. The day of the Lord is at hand. But then let's individualize this. There is coming a day for all of us. If the Lord Jesus tarries His coming, when we will not be able to work for the Lord. You see, you may die before the Lord comes back. Many, many, many of our church have. You may die before the Lord Jesus returns. And if you do, well, praise the Lord, you're going to heaven. But listen, if you do, your opportunities for work are over. You can't get up there and say, you know, Lord, I just realized the importance of taking those talents you gave me and multiplying them. Can I go back? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But then there's another application. Suppose you got saved years ago. Maybe you got saved as a young person. Or maybe you got saved in your 20s or in your 30s. And then you all of a sudden one day woke up and you realized, wow, how did I get old so fast? How'd this happen? You look in the mirror and you don't recognize that person that you just looked at. You say, what's happened to me? Life. Life. And so now you get up in years and then something goes wrong physically and you're not able to do anything for the Lord. You're sitting in a recliner, or you're laying in a bed in a nursing home somewhere. And would it not be a shame to get to that point and then look back on all the years that you were saved on this earth, and not only saved on this earth, but saved and a member of the Church of the Open Door? Where there's opportunities everywhere. Wouldn't it be a shame for you to get in that condition, look back and then realize that you had hardly done anything for God? The day's coming when no man can work. Oh, you may be laying there in that hospital bed wishing you could, but it's too late. So, folks, we better be faithful while we can. We better get busy while we can. And you now realize that your days on this planet are drawing to a rapid end. And so you say to yourself, man, I wish I could do something for the Lord now, but I just am not physically able to do it. Let me tell you something, folks. You mark it down. If the Lord tarries his coming, there will definitely come a day when there will be no more time to work for the Lord. But my text shows us that the Lord will return, and when he does, he's going to check on us. I mean, he's going to review what we've done. We're going to have to stand and give an account. I mean, just like this man returned and he reviewed how the three servants did, the Lord Jesus is one day coming back to check on what we have done with the gifts and the opportunities and the talents that he has given us. How have we done with the responsibilities that the Lord has laid on our shoulders? Think about that, Christian. What have you done with your gifts? What have you done with your responsibilities? What have you done with the opportunities that God has given you to serve him and to spiritually make him a prophet? Man, I don't know about you, but I sure want to hear him say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Second thing I want you to think about, I want you to notice, secondly, that I want to show you the revealer of faithfulness. The revealer. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me explain it to you. I want you to pay real close attention to one little word in this verse opens this verse up to something that I had never noticed before, but I saw it this week as I was preparing this message, and man, when I saw it, it thrilled my soul. The little word is, you ready? Few. Few. Look at your verse. Look at verse 21. Thou hast been faithful over what's the next word? Few things. a few things. Notice the little word few. You see, folks, the faithfulness of the servants was revealed by what they did in the small things. Right? You see that? You see, the steward did not give them thousands and thousands of dollars. He gave him just 5 talents. Let's just say he gave him a nickel. Huh? He gave him just a little bit. He gave the other guy just 2. 1 guy 5, 1 guy 2. I mean, we're not talking about, 5,000. No, we're talking about 5. Just a little bit. The steward did not give them this tremendous amount of money. No, he just gave them a paltry little 5. And the other guy, a little 2. That's it. You see, the faithfulness of the servant is revealed in what they did with the small matters. But when these two who doubled their amount were faithful in the small things, well, then they got rewarded greatly. And that's what the Lord expects of us. I checked what one of my favorite commentators had to say about this little word, few. And he said, in my opinion, this word is referring to things of small significance or simply small things. You have been faithful in the little things. Wonderful Lord's going to say that about us. Wonderful Lord's going to say that about me. Wonderful He's going to say that about you. You've been faithful in the little things that I have given to you. Man, that's something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. You see, we reveal our faithfulness or our unfaithfulness in small matters. Because you see, if a person cannot be faithful in the little matters, then you can mark it down. That person is not going to be faithful in the big matters. It's just the way it works. When I graduated from college, from Bible college, I was 22 years old. There was not a church running 1,000 that was interested in calling me to be their pastor. As a matter of fact, there was not a church of 500 that was willing to take a chance on a 22-year-old kid right out of college. And come to think of it, there was not even a church with 100 that wanted me to be their pastor. And then it got even worse. I couldn't find a church with 50 that was interested in letting me come and be their pastor. So I told Karen, I said, you know, I guess we're just going to have to go start our own. And that's what we did. Started our own. First Sunday, we had 36. Amen. 36. I went out and knocked on doors and got to know folks and led some folks to Christ. And I said, we're gonna have a service. And we set a date and we had the service. First one, 36 people showed up. Amen. Amen. Within 2 years, we were running about 90 folks every Sunday morning. It was going great. Filled up the little building we had. And then the Lord moved me. And I went to Bell Creek Baptist Church. And that little old church, first Sunday, I had, you guessed it, 36. Same amount as the first time. I found out, and it was all women first day. All women. And old sick people. Seriously. My first Sunday, deer season started Monday. Well, you can't go to church on deer season Eve. Come on. You got to get ready, you know? I mean, good grief, they walk out the back door and shoot deer, you know? But you got to get ready. You got to get ready. So that little church grew from 36, all women, and four or five old guys that couldn't breathe. They couldn't breathe. And so within 6 years, actually it was within 4 years, or four, the last 4 years, within 2 years of being there, we were averaging 225 every Sunday. Amen. 225 people in a little community that had 300 people in it. Whoa. They called me the mayor of Dixie. Seriously, I was the mayor of Dixie. And so then the Lord moved me, and I went to a church that ran about 225 to 240 every Sunday. They didn't have to start with 36 over again. And then eventually the Lord led me to another church where he prepared me for here, because that church had a Christian school. And I would have never been considered for here if I had not had Christian school experience. So the Lord sent me out to Purgatory, or to Joliet, Illinois, where I had to go to school again. And then the Lord sent me here. But you see, I didn't get here right out of college. I had to go through some storms and go through some lessons and learn some things. And listen, folks, here's the point. Don't despise the little things. You be faithful in the little things. I can look back to those days when I was pastor of 36 people. And folks, I want you to know that I studied just as hard back then and prepared just as diligently as I prepare today. I mean, come on. Preaching is what it's all about for me. But I was faithful in those little churches, and the Lord did what the Lord does, and that is he blesses. Christian, don't despise the small responsibilities. Do the same things to the best of your ability, no matter if it's big or if it's little. We must learn to be faithful in the little matters before God will entrust us with the bigger matters. And don't forget, the Apostle Paul told the folks at Corinth that that he had planted. And then he said, Apollos has watered. But don't lose sight of the fact that it's God that gives the increase. See? So you be faithful, and then you let God give the increase. That makes perfect sense to you, right? All right. That little word, few. You know, everybody wants to start out at the top, don't they? But it doesn't work that way. You don't start out in college as a senior and work your way back to the freshman. No, you start out as a freshman. You don't start as a senior in high school and then work your way back to kindergarten. No, you start at kindergarten and you work your way forward. You don't take calculus when you're 6 years old and then go back a year and end up learning your ABCs when you're a senior in high school. No, you start with the small things and then you work your way up. And God does the same way with us. Does that make sense to you? Thirdly, I want you to notice that there is a reward for faithfulness. There's a reward. Well done, he said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then he said, look at what he said. He said, you have been, look at verse 21, he said, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Isn't that something? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In other words, he's saying, hey, you done good. Come on now, I'm going to take care of you. Come on, enter into the joy. Listen, where I live, it's awesome. You can come live where I live. My cooks, best cooks in the world, you can eat off of my table. My servants, my, they never let that grass get long. You can just sit back, drink iced tea, and watch him mow grass. You don't have to mow the grass. We'll do it for you. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Christian, understand this. It pays to be faithful to the Lord. There are rewards beyond measure. And I want you to see two things here in this statement, and then I'll close. First, I see the principle of promotion at play. He said to the two men who had doubled their gifts, I will make thee ruler over many things. Many. There is no doubt in life, one of the rewards of faithfulness is promotion. We get promoted. We get enriched. We get blessed. If a person shows up for work every day on time, they're dedicated to their position. They have a good attitude and a good heart, and they make their company a profit. That is always noticed. It's always noticed. And that person will usually get a promotion for a reward for being the right kind of employee. But the reverse of that principle works negatively, but it also works the exact same way. It works negatively, but it also works the exact same way. If an employee has a drinking problem and comes into work every day with a hangover and feels bad throughout the day, and he cannot faithfully do his or her job, and then it hurts their work attendance and it hurts their performance during the day, then mark it down, there will certainly be no promotion for that person. But secondly, I see the principle of pleasure. The steward said, look at this, enter thou into the what?
Joy.
Into the joy. Man, there's joy in serving Jesus. Several of our songs in the hymn book talk about the joy of serving the Lord. Pleasure and joy will be the end result of faithfulness. There is just something satisfying about being faithful to a cause, being faithful to your home, being faithful to your spouse, being faithful to your children, being faithful to your Lord. There's just something satisfying about that. The faithful person will know the joy that only comes from being faithful. You'll know it. You'll know it. There's just something satisfying about all of that. I've spoken to folks throughout the years who have worked the same job for 35, 40, 45 years, and then they retired. And I've heard them say, I can look back on my career with no regrets. I can look back on my years with no regrets and with the satisfaction of knowing that I did my job to the best of my ability, and now I have the joy and satisfaction of knowing that I did my best. Man, that's important. You may not see that it's all that important now, but let me tell you, when you get to retirement age, that's important. When you can hang up the shingle, so to speak, put the hammer away, when you can just sit and fish, play golf, there's a joy in your heart knowing that you did your best. Christian, listen. The day is fast approaching when all of us, we're going to see either the Lord in heaven or we're going to see the Lord return. And when, for us, there is no more time to work, my question is this: will you hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Will you hear him tell you that your faithfulness to him is appreciated? That you have made him a prophet? You were faithful in the little things, and then when he increased your opportunities and gave you more responsibilities, you were faithful in those things as well. And so, for a job well done, the Lord Jesus will offer you a reward beyond your wildest dreams. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, can you imagine? Just use your imagination for a moment. Can you imagine? Just picture in your mind's eye you walking through that gate and the Lord meeting you with his hand out and his arms out, and then puts his arm around you and says, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come over here, I want to show you something. You see that mansion right there? That's yours." And you look, and sure enough, it's got your name across the top of the door. Wow. You say, "For me?" Oh, yeah. I take care of my folks. Those that are faithful to me, I reward them. I take care of them. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, the day is coming. Can you see him smile as he honors your faithfulness? Can you see the smile on his face knowing that the way you lived a Christian life, you made him an increase. You made him a prophet. You see, there are others in heaven because you were faithful to witness. There are others in heaven because you were faithful to be a soul winner. You were faithful to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord's keeping track. And he appreciates when we take what he has blessed us with and when we make him a prophet. Let's be faithful to our Savior, folks. I'll tell you, he's faithful to us. So let's be faithful to him. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. No one looking around for just a moment. Will you hear him say, "Well done"? Will you hear it? Will you hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Well, I sure hope I get to hear that. And I hope you get to hear that as well. I hope that you've been challenged tonight to get busy serving the Lord. Let God use you. Let God do something in your heart tonight. And just make up your mind you're going to be faithful to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for this parable that we read in the Bible. An earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And Father, we can look at this parable and hopefully see ourselves and see the day coming when we hear the Lord say, "Well done." Oh, Father, I pray that you will give us a heart that wants to be faithful to you. May the Word of God make a difference. We ask now in Christ's name. Amen.